Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have brought us together. Thank you for the love that we share.
Yes.
Thank you for the good that you are doing among us. And Lord, as we open your word today, I just pray that you will open our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I was praying last week, and I heard as I was praying, and as I was spending some time in worship, I heard the Lord as I was thinking about something. I was actually thinking about something that something I was reading at the time that was, you know, I don't read filthy stuff, but sometimes I enjoy it. Sometimes I get it into something that's just not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was praying to the Lord, and all of a sudden that came into my head. And I thought I heard the Lord say, "Do you want to walk with me?"
Mm.
It puts me in mind, as I think about it, of times when my dad and I, when I was younger, when I was a kid, he would say, "Let's go for a walk," or "Let's go." Sometimes he wanted to jog with him. I really didn't like that. But so I wasn't always real crazy about those times. But now looking back, those times are very precious.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So I know now how special that time is, and how so many people miss out on that time with their earthly fathers.
Right.
When we're walking together with somebody, we're walking together generally because we love them,
right.
Or we're friends, and we want to spend time together, and we're going someplace. Sometimes we're going no place.
Right.
But the important thing is that we're together.
Amen.
So after that time of worship last week, when I wanted to pick up my book, I would hear that question in my head: "Do you want to walk with me?"
Mm. Precious.
Well, at least that day, I couldn't pick that book up again. I had to put it down.
Yeah.
I said, yes.
Amen.
And it took me a little bit longer to really put it down. I think it was on Monday. I was asking the Lord for direction. And I've mentioned before that I tend to write in my journal when I'm praying and seeking direction.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't give me an answer, but what I seemed to hear was, "Call your dad." Well, I hadn't talked to my dad in a while, so I did that. Mm-hmm. And later on that day, I called my dad. And he said a lot of things, and I can't even remember now. Hopefully he's not listening to this. I can't even remember now exactly what it was that he said, but I remember picking up on that question again from the Lord: "Do you want to walk with me? Put away this worthless stuff that distracts you from what's important."
Amen.
"And walk with me."
Amen.
It's a choice that we make, and it's a choice that we have to keep making. Because God seeks a relationship with us, and we're wired for relationship.
Yes.
And not to have relationships is actually unhealthy for us. That's been one of the bad things about this whole COVID thing, is forced people into isolation. And there's been an increase in depression, increase in suicides even, because we're made in His image. And His image is one of unity and communion. We're supposed to be with people. We're supposed to be together.
Amen.
And all forms of those relationships teach us how to relate to God. Whether it be parents with their children, whether it be brothers and sisters, whether it be best friends, or even lovers. Broken relationships hurt. And probably, I think, one of the most devastating things that happens to us is that some relationship that's very dear to us getting broken. Regardless of the reason, whether it's because we've fallen out, we've had an argument, whether it's because of betrayal or divorce, or even whether it's somebody that went on. We miss that relationship.
Yes.
Because we're made for it.
That's right.
And if it's possible to repair that relationship, we ought to work on it.
Amen.
Especially our relationship with God.
Amen.
It's the most important one of all. And we're called, after all, the bride of Christ.
Yes.
And anything that you experience here on earth is just a dim reflection of what He has in store for us in His presence.
Amen.
And the intimacy that two people share together is even a dim reflection. But it's the closest thing we have, and I believe that's why the devil attacks it so mercilessly.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wants to destroy that picture.
It's true.
But there are barriers to our relationship. Idolatry, putting anything that we value more than He. Selfishness, which is really just another form, we're putting ourselves in front of Him.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes shame gets in the way.
Yes.
We know that we're wrong. We know something is out of place. Sometimes it's false. Sometimes it is something that we need to go before God and realize that we're forgiven because we have a repentant heart.
Amen.
But sometimes it's because there's something that's not right. And we need to make it right.
It's true.
In a word, sin. But yet, He calls for us. Where are you? I love you. Come and walk with me. Our passage today is one we know well. It's from the book of Genesis. I'm just going to read part of it because of the time. But we'll fill in around it. But we all know it well. This is Genesis chapter 3. And the serpent has come. And he's told Eve, God knows if you eat that, you're going to be just like God. You're going to know the difference between good and evil.
That's right.
And so we pick up in verse 6, reading again from the Lexham English Bible. Reads a little rough here, but I think it's good because, and I'll tell you another reason, just complete aside here, since I've got time. One of the reasons why I think it's important that we know God by His name. See, I have a Hindu friend. I've been talking to him a little bit lately. Not so much about this kind of thing, but I've known him for years. I don't think he's particularly religious, but when you say God, I heard him say God one time. He said, "We pray to God." Like, I didn't ask him at the time, but I'm thinking, okay, which one? So whenever I talk to my Hindu friend, I make sure that I tell him that I'm talking about Yahweh.
Amen.
The great I Am, the only real God.
That's true. Amen.
So, back to the subject again. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, then she took from its fruit, and she ate. Mm-hmm. And she gave it also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then their eyes were both open. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed together fig leaves and made for themselves coverings. Then they heard the sound of Yahweh God walking in the garden at the windy time of day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh God among the trees of the garden. And Yahweh God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he replied, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I'm naked, and I hid myself." Then he asked him, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I forbade you to eat? And the man replied, the woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave it to me of the tree from the tree, and I ate. And Yahweh God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. God created Adam and Eve, we all know the story, and he placed them in this beautiful garden called Eden. And he tells us that they were naked, but they were not ashamed. Because God's creation was good. All of it was good.
Amen.
There was no need to conceal anything. But he gave them one commandment. You can have anything else you want, but don't eat from this particular tree.
Right.
So when the serpent comes, he tempts Eve, and Adam's with her, and they both eat. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden, they have shame.
Mm-hmm.
And they have shame, and so they attempt, they make a rather poor attempt to cover themselves up. And God comes, and they hide from God. And God, at the verses we didn't read at the end, now delivers judgment, but also he delivers hope. Man is thrown out of the garden and kept from eternal life, but also the promise of Jesus is given, and he will come and he will give life back again.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The temptations in chapter 6 there, you will see these three temptations. All temptations basically stem from three things. And you see them here in this chapter, in chapter 3, verse 6. You'll see them again in the temptation of Jesus in Matthew, verses 4, 1 through 10. Also again in Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. John also spells them out in 1 John 2:16. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. Boastful pride of life. You see him here. She sees that it's good for food. When Satan comes to Jesus, he says, make these stones into bread. You're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Take it upon yourself to solve the problem. The lust of the eyes. She sees that it looks pretty. It looks good.
Right.
I want it.
Right.
When Satan attempted to tempt Jesus, he said, look at all this. Look at all these kings. Look at all the kingdoms of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's all mine. All you gotta do is worship me and I'll give it to you.
Right.
Jesus said, no. Go away.
Amen.
The boastful pride of life. It's desirable to make you wise. It'll make you like God, he said. And he said to Jesus at the top of the temple, prove yourself. Jump off. Everybody will come running to you. God, he says God will protect you. And everybody will know then that you're who you say you are. But then it would be about him. And Jesus was always about the Father.
Amen.
Amen.
And the consequences of sin. The consequence of sin is a broken relationship, not only with God, but with each other.
Amen.
Shame. You know, the outward nakedness that they recognized was only a symptom, was only an expression of their inward exposure. And now begins the process of trying to cover up the shame. But it's not so easily done as that. God comes looking for them. in the, your translation may say in the cool of the day. But I wonder if this wasn't a common practice. We're not told, but we know that they heard the sound of him and they knew who it was. It was, it's only an assumption, we don't know, but I figure, as many have before me, that it was a common practice for God to come and to fellowship with his creation.
Right.
And walk together in the garden. There would have been no need for a separation between them. Mm-hmm. But now, their shame exposes their sin. Because instead of running to meet their loving Father, they hide. Mm-hmm. Now, instead of joy, there is fear. Mm-hmm. God is still seeking them, but they are hiding.
That's true.
And God's not surprised by this. He knew from the outset of creation what was going to happen, and he knew what he was going to do about it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they had already made themselves a crude covering to hide behind, but it wasn't sufficient. They knew it wasn't sufficient. And so he still says, I'm naked. I was afraid. Mm-hmm. And so God, though of course he knew anyway, certainly knew at this point, because the only way they can know that, the only reason for there to be shame is that sin has entered the picture.
Right.
That which is created good has now become corrupted. And what do they do? The first thing they do is start making excuses. Well, she gave it to me. The devil made me do it. But we fall into the same traps. We fall into the same temptations. The lust of the flesh, whether it be food, whether it be sex, whether it be comfort, physical comfort, whether it be entertainment or rest or even security. It's not that these things are bad. These desires aren't bad. They're bad when they take the place, when they cause us to pursue them instead of pursuing God. What does he say? What have we read recently? Seek first his kingdom.
Amen.
I'll give you everything you need. So Satan tempts us to fulfill those desires in harmful ways.
Amen.
They had all the food they could ever want, any kind they could ever want. They took the one thing they weren't supposed to have.
That's true.
Their needs were completely and amply met. The lust of the eyes. They were surrounded by beauty. They were given charge of everything that was on the earth. But they wanted the one thing that they were denied. Mm-hmm. And we're tempted. We're tempted to pursue the created instead of the creator. Mm-hmm. We're tempted to substitute something that's pretty and perishable for the beauty, full and eternal. Mm. In the boastful pride of life, don't we all want to be in control? We all want to be in control of our destiny. We all want to be recognized. We all want the attention. We imagine that we know better than God what we need.
Right.
And even Christians can fall into these traps when we, especially when the circumstances disappoint us, and we think we know better. We think, well, God did that. He must not be who he says he is. He must not love me. Whatever it is, God did it. But Satan has a lie for every occasion. And we rationalize then what we want to do and convince ourselves that our way is better.
Right.
We accept the world's wisdom in place of his wisdom.
That's true.
And we accept the praise that is rightfully his. Because we crave that recognition. We like having power. And we begin to imagine that we know how to use it better than somebody else. Mm-hmm. But God is still calling. Adam broke the relationship. But Jesus made a way to restore it.
Amen.
He's even called the second Adam. Mm. And he calls us. He calls us to choose him as Lord. He calls us to fall in love with him.
Amen.
And so he's asking, I think I know everybody in here, but only God truly does. And of course, we've got a global audience now. But he's asking, where are you? Are you hiding in shame, knowing that your attempts to cover yourself are not enough? Are you looking for somebody else to blame? Or are you running to me, clinging to him, like Mary to Jesus in another garden? Knowing that he sees your shame and loves you anyway.
Amen.
He has taken away your shame. And he's asking, do you want to walk with me?
Amen.
Oh, I pray that your answer will always and forever be yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you that despite all of our failings and all the times that we do fall, all the times that we do run off and do our own thing, you're still calling. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. We want to walk with you. We want to walk with you as your people, as individuals, and as a church. Show us, Lord. Show us how to continue to walk with you.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen.